My friends, in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear confirmands of 2012, and to all of their family members and your baptismal sponsors and friends who are with us this morning as guests, may the peace of Christ be with you as we consider now your theme, the theme that this class has chosen, and from their banner. And I read again the third verse of the first psalm. He, that is, the one who does not sit in the counsel of the wicked, or the stand in the way of sinners, and or sit in the seat of scoffers, the one who delights in the Lord, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. This is God's word. Please be seated. Confirmands, are you much of tree climbers? Have you ever climbed trees? When I was your age, I climbed trees, and there was a favorite tree that I used to visit in the summers of my childhood. And to get to this tree, you would go down to the creek behind our house, and you would follow the creek downstream over the rocks, behind the Shelladies and behind Marty Letts's house and a few more houses. And you go underneath the Friendship Street Bridge, and you go a little bit further, maybe 50 yards or so, and you'd come to a place that we would call the Spear Forest, because it had all these real tall plants with these long, straight stalks. And when they dried out in the fall, you could pop the roots out of the ground and throw them like spears. And then you'd go from there a little bit of a left turn to the east, and you come to the back part of a very large cemetery. And there was this pond and this big willow tree planted right next to the pond, and it was a favorite of mine. You go underneath the umbrella of the drooping branches of this willow tree that were never trimmed, so they reached all the way to the ground. You could get under there and just escape from the world. And that tree was perfect for climbing. If you ever climbed willow trees, they're one of the best trees for climbing, I think. And up there in the branches of that willow tree, it would just sit there and listen to the breeze blowing the branches around, and the frogs, and watch the ripples on the pond, and I'd just be up at peace. I love that tree. I was up that tree. I was in it. I was under it. I was behind it. Every proximity to that tree you could be in, I was there. And that brings to mind some people of the Bible who also had some proximity to trees. And I think that they present us some options for our life in this world. And so I want to present the first one. First of all, you could be the man behind the tree. Now, I can't see the screen, so hopefully this is happening. You could be the man behind the tree. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, these words: they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And why is Adam hiding behind the tree? He's ashamed. God had given him one simple command. One command. Do not eat from this one tree that's in the middle of the garden. Now, it was risky for God to even give the option to Adam to rebel against him. But he had to do that so that Adam had the ability to love God in return, just out of his own free will and volition. So God took the risk, he gave Adam the option to rebel, and Adam blew it. And people have been hiding from the Lord ever since, ashamed of what they've done, ashamed of what they've said, of the way they treated someone else, of the way they cheated. Some of those people hiding behind the trees in shame, some of them are in your position that you are today, confirmands. They were here, sitting here. They came to the altar. They made their promise. They vowed faithfulness to the Lord. And then they got out, and they got lured by the world, and they slipped away, and they decided that they knew how to live than God knows. And they fell into all kinds of sins, and now they avoid God like vampires avoid sunlight. Afraid even to step into the sanctuary of God, I guess, for fear that the pure light of a holy God is just going to obliterate them. All right, so you could be the man behind the tree for the rest of your life, hiding away from God in shame. Or you could be the man in the tree. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9 says this, Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. He was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. Now, Confirmands, you remember this story, right? Okay. We just reviewed it this year. Absalom had led a failed rebellion against his father, King David. And while Absalom was fleeing from David's men, he went under this tree and his hair and his head got caught up in the branches and he was left there dangling from this tree, defenseless against the punishment that was coming and that he fully deserved. And in this case, David's men caught up to him and they ran him through with spears. Remember that? There are a lot of people in that same pitiful position as Absalom. They've rebelled against the Father, and now they are left spiritually dangling between heaven and earth, awaiting an inevitable fate about which they can do nothing, because like it or not, the wages of sin is death. It will catch up to all of us, and you could be the man in the tree for the rest of your life, just hanging there, defenseless against your worst and your last enemy. Or you could be the man under the tree. What's he doing there? He's moaning and he's groping and he's groaning and griping about his troubles and his trials and how awful his life is. He's despairing. This is Elijah. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, Elijah sat down under the juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." Now, remember this story too, right? Elijah's on the run from King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, who are wanting to kill him. And he griped and he complained to God, "What kind of a life is this? I would be better off dead. What good can possibly come of my circumstances?" The man under the tree is the one who has lost his will to live, to carry on, because he cannot for the life of him see how God could possibly use his pain, his problems, his trials for any good purpose. And he's given up. And yeah, again, there are a lot of people in that situation. They can't make any sense out of their life and why things happen. They think there's no justice for them. There's no purpose for their hardships. And they feel like there's no reason to go on anymore. They would prefer just to get it over with. Somehow they manage to get up every day and get on with life, but it's not a full life. Moping and groaning there under the tree. You could be the man under the tree. Confirmands, instead of being the man behind the tree, hiding away in shame, instead of being the man in the tree, just dangling there, waiting for a fate that you can do nothing about, instead of being the man underneath the tree, moping and groaning about how awful your life is and what is God doing, Confirmands, you have the last number of years been the man up the tree. Up the tree. We read in Luke chapter 19, recognize this fellow? Jesus entered Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now, say what you want about Zacchaeus. He was a traitor, a lowlife, a thief, using his position as a tax collector, his authority, to steal from his own countrymen. But Jesus came to seek and to save people just like that, the lost. People like Zacchaeus. And at least Zacchaeus understands that he needs something in his life. something that he senses the Lord Jesus can offer him. So instead of hiding behind the tree in shame and just dangling from the tree, awaiting a fate he can do nothing about, or crawling underneath a tree and moping and groaning about how awful his life is, instead Zacchaeus goes up the tree seeking Jesus, hoping that Jesus will do for him what he's done for so many others and restore his joy and his hope and his life and his dignity. Confirmands, that's what these past years of your Christian education have been about. Your parents, your sponsors, and myself, we've been underneath you trying to push you up into the tree because you've been small of stature, couldn't get up there yourself, so we hoisted you up into the tree so you could get a better view of Jesus through your Christian education, through Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and your confirmation instruction. Hoisting you to get a better view of Jesus because, as Isaiah says, when you seek the Lord like Zacchaeus did, you will find that he is full of compassion for you, and he will abundantly pardon all who flee to him for his mercy, which he gives freely for the sake of the one who is on the tree. The one who's on the tree is our Lord. Acts chapter 5 verse 30 says, Peter said to the crowd, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed and hanged on a tree. And yet, though he died at the hands of sinners, it was the Father's will that his Son become sin for us, and that he give us the happy exchange of his own righteousness, to wear like a white robe, like the robes you're wearing today, that covers over every blemish, every stain of sin. At the tree of Jesus' shame, all of those who have been hiding away in shame because of what they did or said can come out of hiding now. Because as the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. At the tree of his death, all of those who've been dangling between heaven and earth with Absalom, awaiting a fate they can do nothing about, all of a sudden they have a way down. Because, as Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. And ours is the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. At the tree of his suffering, all who were under the tree with Elijah moping and groaning about all of their problems and the senselessness of it all of them can perk up. Because the Lord's Apostle Peter says, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So, confirmands, everything has changed because of Christ. Because of the man on the tree, those of you who have been hiding behind the tree in shame can come out. You're forgiven. Because of the man on the tree, those of you who have been dangling there awaiting a fate you can do nothing about, you can come down because Christ has defeated your enemy. And because of the one on the tree, we don't have to be crawling under trees anymore, despairing about our problems. Christ has filled our lives, and yes, even our sufferings, with purpose and meaning, even as his suffering was filled with purpose. But according to the verse that you picked, confirmands, from Psalm 1 verse 3, here's the main thing. Because of the man on the tree, you are now the tree. You are the tree. He who meditates on the word of God and delights in the Lord, the psalmist says, is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Confirmands, all of you, be the tree. Be the tree. The tree has its roots planted right where the water can be drawn to sustain the life. For us, the water is the Holy Scriptures and the sacraments. We plant our roots in the church. Be the tree. And then the tree, as it draws life from Christ and from the refreshing waters of the Scriptures, the tree also produces fruit, inevitably. Be the tree and bear the fruit. Not walking with the wicked. Not standing with the sinners. Not sitting with the mockers. But bearing the fruits of the Christian faith into which you were baptized and which you will stand here today and profess before this congregation. Remember, trees don't bear fruit for their own sake. Trees bear fruit to be a blessing to others. And the same is true for you, confirmants, for all of us. So when a schoolmate of yours is hiding from God for shame because of something they've done, you can share with that person the fruit of your peace with God and the forgiveness of sins that you received from the man on the tree. When you have a family member who's helpless against impending death, you can share with that person the fruit of life in Christ and the power of His resurrection. And when a friend of yours is groaning under the weight of trials and thinks there's no reason to go on anymore, you can share with him the fruit of hope in Christ. And because you bear that fruit, you will be a blessing to others. Be the tree. Bear the fruits. Stay planted where the streams of life-giving water flow into your roots and into your system and produce the fruits of faith. And so we conclude with Paul's word to the Corinthians, a similar kind of encouragement when he says, "Therefore, be steadfast and unmovable. Keep your roots planted at the stream of God's word. And as you do so," Paul goes on to say, "you will always abound in the work of the Lord." That's the fruit that you will bear. Be the tree, bear the fruit, and the Lord, who is faithful, will establish you and will guard you against the evil one. That's our prayer, confirmands, that you will be that tree planted by the streams of water unto life everlasting. To you and to all of you, peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.